This is the Red Table Talk After Show. Today, Tommy Davidson joined the ladies at the Red Table. We have all of that and more. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, hold up.
Come on, come on. These lights, this is club right
That's
here.
That's how you introduce the show.
I love it.
Yes, me too. Welcome. This is the Red Table Talk After Show. I am one of your hosts, Tyler Simone, and I couldn't do this without my lovely co-host.
What's up, y'all? It's your man, the Tyler Tyson.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Jade Ming.
Yes, we're happy to have you guys. Thank you so much for joining us again on this lovely Monday evening. This week, we had Tommy Davidson at the Red Table with the ladies. Mm. And how did you guys feel about this?
I'm going to let you go first. Ladies first.
Oh, hey. Okay. I was over here waiting for you. Honestly, I mean, I feel like, to be completely honest, I feel like I say this all the time every week that we do this. I love how genuine everyone is with Red Table Talk. Like, I love it so much. Only because you get to see and hear things that you haven't heard. But you're hearing it from the actual person, mm-hmm. the person's voice and mouth. And so, like, him describing about what's been going on in the past and then also his upbringing, it was very interesting. And it was very also eye-opening in a sense, especially in the entertainment industry for all of us, honestly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
I agree. So, for me, I did thoroughly enjoy the episode. It seemed a little short. I don't know if they were strapped for time or what, but it was a very short episode. And especially to be covering Tommy Davidson, someone so well known. I don't think many of us really knew he had an addiction problem. Like, all of this was, I didn't know he was left for dead. I didn't know anything, apparently, about Tommy Davidson. So I just, once again, they left me wanting more. And I don't know why we were cheated out of our time on this episode.
Yeah, it was a short episode compared to all the rest, about 15 minutes. Like you said, Tommy Davidson, very well known, has a very great, successful career. Mm-hmm. He's been in movies. He is most well known, I think, for In Living Color. Mm-hmm. That was kind of where he really was started acting-wise. Mm-hmm. But yes, he was left for dead, sadly, and was discovered by his now, or his adoptive mother, which I had no idea either. And he said that this was the first time that he's talked about this.
Exactly.
Ever, publicly.
But Loki, doesn't that just show you that there's only so much a person knows, especially all of us, when it comes to social media?
Yes.
And also, you know, social media and stuff, they weren't even around back then. So when I was driving on my way here, I was just like, okay, so we just didn't know about this stuff, and we didn't because we didn't have social media like that. And that's crazy, by the way.
It's crazy to think that we were in a society where our celebrities were way over there.
Yeah, they were.
Our Whitney Houston's, our Michael Jackson's, our Prince, all these people, they were untouchable. Yeah. They would drop their music and disappear for like 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
Because back then, you could literally, one album could last you like 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then, except for Mariah Carey, she did one every year. That's a whole other story.
Also, yeah.
But then
Christmas music.
But then they would come back. Now, with Instagram, we see you every day. Like, you can't, I mean, for those of you that love Rihanna, well, I love Rihanna, but, you know, whoever your person is, even though they haven't put out music, Rihanna has put out music in, like, 2016. Mm-hmm. It's 2019, and it seems like she never left because she's on Instagram.
Yeah.
Celebrities seem a lot more touchable now than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, with that, this episode, we learned a whole lot. We know that he was adopted, and they took him into a white town right after, which, we've talked about this in prior episodes, being adopted and then being put into these communities that don't reflect you at all.
Mm-hmm.
That, once again, was shocking. I mean, they did end up moving to D.C., which was a little bit better. More black people, apparently, I guess.
In the area,
I've never been there. I don't know.
It was better because there were black people, but
but there was still some craziness.
There was a lot more craziness there.
Yeah. So the whole bringing him into the white community, it didn't seem to faze him. He said that he always, he knew he was brown, but he felt welcomed.
Hmm.
What is that face?
I'm deferring to my friend to the left.
Well, I mean, I feel like him saying that he felt welcomed, what is wrong with that? You know, I feel like if I could be completely honest.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Honest. What is wrong with, you know, him being feeling like he was, you know, part of the crew? You know what I mean? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I feel like, but the only thing that's just concerning is how you act from that. And we can go back to our last episode of how that went. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, but other than that, that's great. He was brought up well. He had a great upbringing. He had good siblings. He even defended his siblings at one point because even black girls were trying to get him. Yeah. I mean, get her, his sisters. Yeah. And then same for him. You know, and so I just think that in this specific case for him, I think that... if we're going to just go ahead and talk about, like, as far as upbringing goes, you know, it's great that, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he got a good one, a good upbringing from where he started off at. Because that's a miracle. I'm going to be completely honest.
Oh, that is a miracle.
That's a miracle.
So what I was going to say, and I the reason I hesitate is because I'm writing a book and I'm, you know.
Wait, this is not okay.
I mean, it's not like the book is almost completed. Like, I just started writing a book.
Kind of wanted
to know that.
And what I'm really getting at is there's only so much you're going to get for free. You're going to have to, like, read the story and watch the movie.
All right. We're just getting a lot of news and what's...
Hey, he's just dropping these bombs. He's just dropping these bombs for promotion, y'all.
Right. Continue, sir.
But what I can say is Tommy Davidson and I have a lot in common, and one day I will really line up the things that we have in common. I mean, not almost to a T, but just a lot of similarities. But one thing that I can, even though I wasn't raised by white parents, I can relate to being around a bunch of white people, maybe being the only black face of one of two black faces, and not really, not saying that you didn't realize you were black, but like Tommy said, you just feel like, oh, there's this color one, there's that color, but we're all the same. So yes. I didn't grow up with the same, like, okay, white people over there, black people over here, this is how black people act, white people. I didn't grow up, everybody to me was the same. It wasn't until I got older and got kind of like Tommy being called the N-word when he moved to DC. It wasn't until I got older, I didn't get called the N-word, but then I went to a HBCU. And so it was like, oh, pull the bay hole off. Oh, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It wasn't until I got into LA that I got called the N-word for the first time. But nonetheless, I get it.
Yeah. And you know what? Yes, it's once again shocking that he was taken into this white town. But because he felt so accepted, she must have done something right.
Oh, for
I think like he didn't really go into how she went about making him feel accepted. But I feel like they did it in a great way, obviously.
I mean,
felt
for sure.
Fine.
Like, the dad, I thought that was a beautifully way. That was, honestly, that was a beautiful way how to explain to a child about racism.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful way. And when I heard that, I was like, wow. That's, if you need a description of racism and what it means, if you need to know how to teach your child, easily say the way that his dad said. He was just saying, you know, there are some that are, you know, cowboys and Indians. The Indians won, you know, but there are some cowboys that aren't bad. They're not always bad. Mm-hmm. And I am a cowboy.
Yeah, that was a beautiful way to say it. Yeah.
Beautiful.
It was.
Yeah, and I think that, I don't know, like you say, they didn't get into it, but whatever his mother did to equalize everything, that also is the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to not make it... you need the yin and the yang. Like, you need the dad to kind of be like, this is what it is. Yes, we are different, but we're all the same. And everyone that's different doesn't mean that they're bad. But then you also just need a ridiculous amount of love, which it seems like the mother was the love and the nurturer, and the dad was like the realist and the, I love you too, but let me also prepare you for what's about to come.
Yeah.
Yes.
You need both.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
And they even said that they were in a white community at first, and then they moved and transitioned to a black community, which was kind of strange and very interesting.
Y'all just gonna breeze over the fact that he was in Wyoming. Who happens to find a black baby in a trash can in Wyoming?
God.
Or were they somewhere else and moved to Wyoming?
I think they were in somewhere else and then they moved. He was moved into a white town. No. I don't know if they were living there already.
This is why we needed more than 15 minutes. Because it's unclear to me. The only part of this story that I got was Wyoming, D.C. That those are the only two cities mentioned. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, so was he born in Wyoming? And then if so, I need more of this story. Because where did we even find the black person in Wyoming for this to happen?
Yeah. There were some things they should have maybe touched on a little bit more. So we got the full story. Because I'm even trying to figure out, like, obviously he had a traumatic childhood. I wanted to know, like, where did the addiction come from? Why was that because of the traumatic childhood? They didn't really say.
But honestly, so let's say that, you know, it didn't come from the childhood. It literally, people definitely result to drugs and alcohol because it takes away the pain. Even just smoking weed takes away the pain. So imagine, but that just lasts for so long, you know? So imagine people going more and more and more to deeper drugs because they want that long lasting running away high.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like how he started. And also now you have to realize also back in the day when it came to entertainment, it was so much easier. Not saying it's not easy now because it is, but it was dangerously easy back then. Like in a sense to where, I don't know, it just seemed like
it was just on tables. Like yeah, you go to the party there. And then take, like now it's a normal. Little bit now. Yes. Weed and stuff is on tables, but I don't know. I just haven't been to the right parties, but now but the times that I have had run-ins with people doing those type of drugs, they were either already doing them.
Yeah.
I can't name names. I wish I would. Stay tuned for the book. But then I'm not going to put that in the book. But I did have a situation at one of our favorite. I mean, so I was at an Insecure cast party.
Ooh.
And yeah, let's just say there was cocaine there It was offered. But it wasn't in it's at a table and it wasn't anybody from the cast, just to. And I'm not saying
that up.
But I was literally in the restroom and a guy was in there and was like, yo, I'm doing this. He did it. You want some? Yeah. Oh, no, I'm good. But it really, it was literally that easy.
Yeah, it is accessible for sure. He did say that he smoked cocaine for the first time when he was 16.
Yeah.
Very young. Very, very young. Yeah, crazy.
That makes my heart hurt. Don't do drugs when you're not ready for it in general.
Don't touch it.
It's a bad road to go down.
Yeah.
16? How do you even have access to that? I mean,
I don't know. He met his mom for the first time when he was 38.
Mm-hmm.
This is after everything that happened.
This is after In Living Color.
After all of that, I can't imagine the courage it takes to meet his mother after what she put him through as a baby. That must have been really hard, and I wish they would have went into a little bit more about like his process and getting to that point and how it was when he met her, because I'm like,
I want to know what happened. I want to know what happened. I want to know, where is she now? Do you guys still have a relationship? Because they didn't go into any of that. But then with whatever her name was from the other show, we have like 45 minutes of this girl. Like, not to minimize her story because, oh, this one's famous and that one's not. That's not what I'm saying. But I feel like we got her story within 30 minutes. But then we got an extra 15 minutes, which seems like extra for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Davidson, there's so much that was left out of this story. And you cut my time short. Like, come on.
I think there's a reason for that for sure.
Maybe
because
he has a movie or something, like a biopic.
Maybe. Or I mean, he had a book, too. So it's like, listen, if y'all want to know about what's been going on with me, read my book.
Go get it.
Living in Color.
Another book.
Yeah.
Definitely. But, I don't know.
I don't know.
But I will say that, like, what really stood out to me, and we were talking about this earlier, it was when he was saying how he just lost it.
Yeah.
He just lost everything. Walked up to the stage and the talent was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just crazy because people think that it won't be taken away from you.
It will.
And it will be taken away from you. Do not take that for granted.
You do not.
And even if you do have the talent, or like, sometimes there's even moments where, like, you have it, but you haven't even discovered it, but yet you're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing, like, with that being said, it's just, like, that's crazy how it had to take to that point of his life for him to realize, yeah. I can't.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to really get it. But, like, and it's not till then that you realize.
But if he was doing drugs before, like, wouldn't... So what? Was he doing well, or...?
Well, yes. And that's what he was saying. He was saying... His mindset was backwards. He felt like if he continued to get accolades and become more and more successful, that things would just get better. Mm. And he said he'd be more successful, and then he'd fall. And it was just this cycle until then. Yeah. Until it was kind of like, hey... Your talent's gone.
You know, I've always kind of thought, especially with our comedians, like, our comedians are such troubled souls because there's, like, a Robin very Williams. Thin line between this being able... Because to be a comedian, you have to be able to look at every situation, some of the most traumatic situations, and find a little bit of something in there to flip it.
That's so crazy.
Not saying that that takes a crazy person, but that takes you having to actually go through that pain. And that's a lot of trauma that most of our comedians have gone through. A lot of them suffer from depression. A lot of them, I mean, one of my favorites committed suicide not too long ago, Robin Williams. And it's like, because they make us laugh, we're such a selfish society. We never turn back around and say, oh, you made me laugh. Hey, Robin, how are you, man? How are you? Tommy, you good? Yo, Steve Harvey, you good over there, man? Like, nobody checked on Bernie Mac before he passed away. Like, we just, our comedians, we take them for granted until they're gone. Now we want to put them up and be like, oh, he was such a great guy. Yeah, but where were you when he was really down? Where were you when Tommy was like, strung out?
But I think most of it has to do with us just not knowing and our perception of these people, because we tend to look at famous people, they have everything, they have money and cars, but they are some of the saddest, most unhappy people.
You're alone.
Yeah, they're alone.
You can't trust people. You don't know who to trust because you're no longer, like, I look at someone like one of my favorite people in the world. Well, she's no longer here, but Whitney Houston.
Aww.
People took her for granted. Like, she was no longer Whitney Elizabeth Houston. She was just Whitney Houston. Everyone, she was the business, the brand. So nobody cared that she OD'd during the taping of Waiting to Exhale. During the taping of this iconic movie, she OD'd. The news didn't talk about it. We didn't hear about it. They covered it up. Like, nobody cared.
But then
when she dies in 2012 from ODing, essentially, I mean, it was drowning, but the OD is what led to the drowning. Then, oh, this is our girl. Yeah, but nobody cared. Y'all were just using this woman as a business.
And to add to that, even if people did care, people also made fun of her for using drugs.
Yeah, Mad TV.
And, you know, we have a tendency, okay, I get we don't like hearing tragic stuff or whatever, but if someone's doing drugs or dealing with something, like, if you're a regular human being, you would want them to get help.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they're a celebrity doesn't mean, oh, okay, they just have a special bloodstream. Like, no, they're going through something. And so it's just really crazy how, you're right, like, our society does not respect, like, when it comes to troubled people, like, at all.
And just one more thing, and then I'll let it go. Wendy Williams, who people give a lot of hell to because she is very shady. We know, we all know Wendy is shady. But she even talked about when her first show started, Whitney was still alive, and she would talk about her all the time. She was like, in my own little crazy way, my whole thought was, as long as I'm putting it out here, you can't hide in the shadows. Because when you're depressed, when you're doing drugs, there's, like, this underworld, and you can kind of lurk in the shadows and nobody knows. Simple. But if I'm constantly pointing out, look at my girl, check on her. Now, Wendy didn't do it in the best way. Mm-hmm. But still, her little crazy mind, she was just saying, I'm trying to make sure you can't hide in the shadows.
Yeah. So just kind of forcing her to confront what was going on.
Right.
Yeah.
She just might not have done it in the best way.
Yeah. It's touchy. It's so touchy. I love that Yami was at, rest in peace.
Listen, the best ever.
We'll always love her. I love that Gammy was at the table. Gammy's usually at the table. But this one for sure, because she's also a recovering addict. Mm-hmm. Going on, 28 years?
Mm-hmm. Congrats, Gammy.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
She looks great, doing great. She says she was addicted to drugs, obviously. She was a functioning addict. And she said successes are what keep you in denial about who you are.
I agreed with that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you are more successful, you can you tend to run away from your issues because
you have everything to
everything that. Is great.
It's distracting you from what's really going
on. My greatness is my distraction.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not broke, so I can go to the mall and floss all I want to. I can go buy this whip. I can go take a trip, pick up my girl and whatever and go like
Now hold up now.
Well, I was going to say my girl for the day.
I like that. That sounds like a great day. Yeah. Okay.
Hey. I wasn't meaning like a relationship or anything.
With the tea picked.
Oh, my goodness.
Had to lighten up the mood a little bit.
We need a relationship show. Anyway.
We do. Hey, a totally different. Oh,
Red table talk after dark.
Boom. After dark.
Listen. Boom. Tied it up. You're talking about books and shows and stuff. I look, that's going to be my show. Wait for it.
Come on. I just want to be on. Let me be the guy that just sits in the corner and plays a track here and there, like, you know, throw in a little something.
Yes. Okay, in our last few minutes, I kind of wanted to talk about Jada and her mom and Jada getting really emotional because Gammy was saying that she looks at Jada and the way she is with Willow and Jaden and she feels like Jada did not have her in that way.
Yeah.
And she feels bad about that, which obviously there's nothing you can do about it in the past. Mm-hmm. But Jada was so emotional and it made me emotional.
Same.
Oh man, I couldn't hold it in. I was at work. Like,
it's like, are you okay?
The tears.
You're okay. You sick.
No.
I can see this. That's why that's so funny to me. And when I saw it on the show, I was like, oh, Tyler's crying at this point. I know she's crying at this point. That's funny.
I couldn't help it. It's so sad.
But I get it, though. Like, I don't know. Like, our parents, they're not perfect. But especially if your parent is absent or in and out or whatever the case may be, and you make amends and y'all pull through. But then you have your own kids. A lot of, especially in the generation right before us, or maybe still part of our generation, they their parents were working. They were with latchkey kids and all. So it's like the parent was at work. They come home by themselves and all of that.
Yeah.
And now they're determined that their kids won't be like, or their parents got divorced. They determined that they're not going to get divorced. And so they overcompensate, like LeBron James and Savannah. Mm-hmm. LeBron said, I am going to be the best father to my kids. Why? Because my father didn't even want to claim me until I became LeBron James.
Yeah.
And he has been doing that. And so... Yeah, I could understand being someone that was not there for my child, watching her be a better mom to her daughter that I would, like, that has to be painful.
No, for sure. Definitely. Especially when you see your daughter treating her children more differently than you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not just seeing, how, like, she's grown as a woman, but literally just seeing, like, everything, like, you know, like the whole perspective, because now Gammy's just sitting back. She doesn't have anyone to really take care of because her daughter's grown, her grandchildren, you know what I mean? So now that she's older, it's crazy. She just has to sit and collect.
And I feel like it's always in her face.
Yeah.
Like,
all the time.
Not only are you on the show where you get to see your daughter doing phenomenally and how she interacts with your granddaughter
but I could see it also being a positive and her feeling very proud of the fact that, like, despite everything, it turned out to be great.
And they look just alike.
They look just alike.
You're like, you know what? I might have still done some effed up stuff. My child still came out all right, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, she still looks good, and she's good.
And with Gammy, I mean, throw addiction into the mix. I'm pretty sure through that whole time period, her judgment is clouded by the addiction, so it's like she probably wasn't even aware of what she was and wasn't doing at that time. So they're doing better now. That's all that matters. Still growing.
I will say I like how she said she called it a functional drug addict. That was a very, very interesting way of how she described it, because she's right, though. Not all addicts are like going crazy, withdrawals, all that stuff. Yeah. They're literally, they just can't stop.
Yep.
You know, they can be very functional and all that, but they can't stop taking it or doing that to continue being functional.
I think more people are functional than what our mind is perceived to be.
Yes.
The drunk or the alcohol. Like, in our mind, when we think addicts, we think they're strung out somewhere on the street. They're like somewhere sweating or like something like that. But so many people are addicted to alcohol, addicted to weed, addicted to marijuana, addicted to cigarettes, addicted to whatever.
Yeah.
And they're quote unquote normal. Yeah. They dress, they look clean, they're personable, they're not lurking in the shadows in this big scary monster. They are our doctors, our lawyers, mm-hmm. our politicians, our all of these things. Like, yeah. they're just normal people.
And I think that goes back to what you're saying as far as us not knowing and seeing these celebrities and really not knowing who they are for real. Because a lot of them look fine.
Yeah.
Like, we would never, their teeth aren't falling out and like all this dramatic stuff that we envision. It's just, it's different.
Yeah.
But isn't that crazy though? That just shows how easy it is just to hide, like,
yes,
just to hide a problem, an issue.
Yeah.
Especially when you have money and you can pay for it. Mm. Pay to hide
it's
it.
Crazy. Money does a lot.
It does so many things.
Let me tell you, you can buy your positions, you can hide your tax returns,
you can pay your rent,
you can run a country,
get your car,
you can do a whole bunch of stuff when you have money.
You can get extra guap.
You're not ugly. You're just broke, possibly.
And Lord knows, nobody wants to be broke. As long as you are ugly and wealthy, you are good.
You are okay.
That's the point of this whole episode.
You're right. True.
Right. Well, that completes our show. But before we go, we're going to do a little bit of news and gossip. Ooh. On to the Tyler Tyson with our Mr. and Mrs. Smith segment.
Yes. Once again, I am Tyler Tyson bringing you the news and gossip for this week. So let's jump right into it. So the other week, you know, we were celebrating Willow's birthday. Well, guess what? It's another Smith's birthday. It's Trey's birthday. Take a look.
Oh, Trey. I forgot they had.
So Trey comes home. I said, how did you like Miss Jada? He said, I really liked her, Mommy. Oh, my God.
That little booty.
Hey, hey.
And the top receiver on the JV is named Smith. Trey Smith.
My name is Trey Smith. I play for Oates Christian High School.
Whoa, I did not know this.
Yeah. He was a bomb athlete back in his day.
Well, Todd, my man, such a pleasure having you on, bro.
And he's doing his own thing. Like, I love he's really making his own lane. He's not trying to ride on anybody's coattail. He does just as much as Willow and Jaden do as far as, like, saying, oh, that's my dad. But he literally has made his own way. And Jada's comments regarding that, she just said, to the only bonus son I will ever have, Trey, you hold such a special place in my heart and in the world. Thank you for being my comrade in arms. So I just thought that was a great, because, you know, we see a lot of times people have an issue with their stepmother or whatever. I just think they did it beautifully. So moving on from that, Jada also showed some love to Jaden because, you know, he has this campaign for not just, you know, with the water and getting rid of plastic, but he also has a campaign to feed the homeless. And so she posted this and it says, Jaden is continuing his journey to help feed the homeless by joining forces with At Cafe Gratitude with offering up love. So he's feeding people and doing a great job at it. If you want to get involved, of course, you can go to Jaden's page, follow Cafe Gratitude, and big ups to Jaden as always.
See, this is what celebrities need to do from now on.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you have money, like, you know, you make it every time, you're going to remake it. Like, there's so many things that's going on.
People need help.
I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and shout out Jeff Bezos for not doing that. You're a billionaire. Wow. And yet you're not helping homeless people. Like, Jaden is literally, I'm pretty sure he gets paid pretty well, but...
Yeah, he's using his own money and resources to do this.
Money.
And speaking of him using his own money and resources, y'all know the tour kicks off tomorrow in San Diego. Willow and Ayers tour starts in San Diego November 12th, which is tomorrow. If you're not in the SoCal area, it does come back December 19th, I believe, is the last day in California. So try to catch it tomorrow. If you can't, it's coming back around. So big ups to Jaden and Willow. Y'all check them out.
I like that.
Yeah. And so Jada also, something for the ladies. She said, instead of throwing away your old shirts, they make perfect head wraps.
They do.
So, ladies.
I hate you so much.
I knew you were already going to be on this. She's going to be on this already.
I knew.
So, Jada just posted a bomb picture showing what she did with the old denim shirt. So, she said she used it as her crown. So, ladies, there you go. Instead of throwing the shirt away, before you throw it away, see if you can tie it up and make a dope little head. What do you call those?
Head wrap.
I'm sorry to say that.
She's the queen of head wraps, honestly. She's done very well.
Well, she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, God.
Drop dead.
That face.
Drop dead gorgeous. It's great.
And so... men's, I don't know when Men's Health Month is, but
I never even knew that.
I'm gonna let Will Smith take it from here.
Let's go.
That's my little no slip socks. That's my gown. It opens to the back. My ass gonna be out. So get to it easy.
Colonoscopy. Dead.
My ass gonna be out.
The blur.
Thankfully, he blurted out. But, so the post on this, the comment said something to the effect of, they told me I was going to have to show my ass in order to get 40 million followers on Instagram. Now he has 39 point something million followers, and so he's like, well, I guess I'm trying to get over the hump, so here's my ass. So I say this to say, those of you that have not ever had a colonoscopy, I got a colonoscopy when I was 25. The doctor didn't want to do it. Thankfully, they did it. I will talk about this more on my show tomorrow on AfterBuzz. But yeah, thankfully we did it. And I'm just telling everyone, make sure you get a colonoscopy. It is not as bad as people make it sound. You're asleep the whole time. And to prove that you are asleep, here's Will after his colonoscopy.
I'm gonna set you up just a tad so you can see everyone. That's some ice water right here. You want something to drink?
We have Belvedere or Chirac.
We ran out of that. I'm sorry.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Absolute pleasure. Thank you, sir. He's like the Martin Scorsese of my ass.
Thank you. You can get dressed.
Can you help me with these? I haven't done many drugs in my life, so stuff works on me really well.
Oh my god.
So that was him in recovery, and I can tell you it is some of the best sleep of your life. In the comments of this post, though, Halle Berry actually commented, and she said, you are the only one that can keep me laugh while your ass is in a hospital bed. Sending you much love and prayers. So just wanted to point that out. And then also, I had to top this off. We got one more video after this one. This is Will showing Trey some love on his birthday. They have an annual ritual. Take a look.
Oh, my gosh.
Give me the
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Look at little Trey.
He's such a great dad, honestly.
He is. Like, this is why I want to be a part of the family.
It's not too late.
I mean, right? Let's go.
I mean, listen.
Oh, now they gotta make an adult one. Trey Trix. Oh my god.
Right?
That's so cute.
And so the caption says that when Trey was growing up, every year for his birthday, we would shoot an episode of a home movie called The Trey Trix. And he said, where I'm the bad guy trying to kill him. And he said, I think we definitely need to do another one.
For sure. Yeah. Oh my gosh, why don't you make it an actual movie?
And right. So, speaking of actual movies, to finish out and round out our Mr. and Mrs. Smith news and gossip for this week, I have something very special for you guys. This is a sneak peek trailer of Bad Boys 3, which is coming out in January of 2020. You can watch the full, because it's like a 2-minute trailer. I condensed this down to 1 minute. You can watch the rest on Will Smith's Instagram page. Take a look.
Bad boys for life, baby. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you?
They sing my song nonstop.
You lost your damn mind.
Even the Batmobile don't hold the road like this, bitch.
Tight pants and fast cars don't make you Batman, Mike.
Bus.
Get me the fuck out of this car.
Mike, we got more time behind us than in front.
Man, please. I'm gonna be running down criminals till I'm 100.
Not me. I'm retiring.
What happened to Bad Boys for Life?
It's time we be good men.
If it's Bad Boys for Life.
Who the fuck wants to sing that song?
So yes, January 2020, it's coming.
My heart is beating.
Every episode I talk about a friend, the reason why I laughed is because that driving scene, I have two friends that are the worst drivers in the world, and exactly what Martin said in that trailer is exactly what I say. So shout out to my friends. You know who you are, Kia and Ben, and y'all can't drop.
Oh, drop the name. Right. Thank you so much for all that news.
That was a lot.
That was great.
Thank you so much. You summed it up. Well, that concludes this week's episode. We thank you guys so much for watching. As always, you can find us same place, same time next week. I am Tyler Simone. You can follow me on Instagram at Miss Tyler Simone. Where can they follow you in the meantime?
And of course, you can get your entire life following me on all social media at The Tyler Tyson.
And you can go ahead and follow me on Instagram if you want to go ahead and get a little bit of, you know, peep show. Nice things, though. Good things.
Make sure I'm following.
You can follow me on My Ming Official. M-A-I-N-G Official.
Yes. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.